Hi, everyone. I think the ASHRM restrictions wouldn't let us register two presenters, but here we both are. So my name is Brianna Dean. I'm from the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program at WA Department of Health. And my colleague presenting with me today is Elizabeth Tindall from the Communications Directorate at WA Department of Health. So just before I begin, I wish to acknowledge and pay my respects to the Whadjuk Noongar people as custodians of the land on which we stand today. So today we are going to give an overview of our strategies and successes in promoting sexual health to young people, so excellent follow-on from Marty, via an integrated social marketing campaign. So the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program, in partnership with COMS, develop social marketing campaigns and a range of activities to support them. The aim of these is to reach young people with safer sex messages in a way that's actually convenient and accessible to them. This is aligned with previous WA SDI strategies and the current SDI strategy, which acknowledges young people as a priority population and emphasises the need to actually target health promotion initiatives to young people and other priority populations in order to reduce the burden of STIs and support STI prevention and testing. So I have some epi here, kindly provided by my colleague Kelly Mitchell. And what I really want to highlight here is just why we're actually concerned with targeting young people with safer sex messaging. So I should have highlighted the things I'm now realising, but if you take a look at the top graph and the second line down, you can see the 16 to 24 year age group. And what you can see from the epi here is that young people continue to represent a high proportion of STI notifications generally. And in that first table, which is chlamydia notifications, you can see that from 2014 through to 2018, 16 to 24-year-olds are representing at least 50% of the total proportion of notifications for chlamydia. If you look at the table down, which is the gonorrhea notifications, and again, the second line down there, 16 to 24-year-olds, you can see that in 2014, that age group represented 38% of the total gonorrhea notifications. And while it's actually come down a bit to 28% in 2018, mainly as a result of 25 to 34-year-olds experiencing an increase in notifications, we can still see that, you know, 28% is a lot of notifications and a lot of burden of disease for a group of young people to be experiencing. And overall with these numbers, you know, we can see that chlamydia is remaining steady each year at over 11,000 notifications. And this really emphasises the need for ongoing prevention initiatives.
So the Department of Health in Western Australia has undertaken concerted efforts to tackle STIs, specifically in young people, through social marketing since 2005. The first campaign targeted a broader audience of 18 to 29-year-olds, and it went live with an advertising budget of $150,000. The couldihaveit.com.au campaign website, which provided young people with detailed information about STIs, also went live in 2005. In 2006, another new campaign concept was developed, but this time with a more targeted audience of our 16 to 24-year-olds, which reflected the rising incidence of infection amongst this younger age group. And the target audience for this campaign has remained ever since. In 2010, the online testing facility on the campaign website was launched. This is a opportunity for young people while on the site to complete a short quiz which identified their risk or likelihood of having an STI. If their quiz results recommended it, they could then populate and download a PathWest form from the site. And alongside that, campaigns continued to raise awareness of the risks and drive young people to the campaign site. And in 2012, Future Music Festival provided an opportunity for peer educators to talk to young people and raise awareness of safer sex and STI testing. In 2014, the couldihaveit.com.au site was upgraded following extensive focus testing with the target audience. The site became mobile optimised and it was refreshed with a modern design. And again, campaigns continued to be be developed to capture the attention of the young people and drive them to the campaign site. So last summer, following more consultation with our audience of young people aged 16 to 24, we launched our latest youth STI campaign. This one is known as Other Voices. Focus group feedback tested for whether or not the concept was attention-grabbing, whether it had good message clarity, did young people actually understand what we were trying to say through the campaign? Did it have a clear call to action? Did they understand what they could do if they had an STI or if they would like to prevent catching one? And it also tested for the likelihood of affecting behaviour change, and if so, what behaviour change? Would they be likely to go and see a GP or a sexual health clinic or get an online test via Could I Have It? Or wear a condom when having sex? The feedback from the testing was clear that the concept needed to have a good balance of humour and a serious message, and they needed to be available on the channels where our audiences were, such as social media and cinema. So the campaign, The Other Voices, highlights in a light-hearted way that unprotected sex with one person isn't just with one person. The ad depicts an amorous young couple disturbed by voices of past sexual partners. It was launched in December by the Minister for Health at the South Terrace Sexual Health Clinic in Fremantle.
So following this sort of integrated approach to health promotion and social marketing, we implemented an on-site STI testing facility at Falls Downtown, which was a two-day music festival in Fremantle in February this year. And I have to give a shout out to Marty because it was, I think, in my first week of this current role listening to Triple J where I'd heard about the New South Wales on-site STI testing. And it was not long after that that I was engaging with Marty, asking him for some information on how they pull it off. And anyway, off we went with commencing planning for our own. So this facility offered festival goers an opportunity to take a free test for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and to have discussions on safer sex with nurses and peer educators from the WA AIDS Council, Youth Affairs Council of WA, and South Terrace Clinic. The aim of this was to provide a convenient opportunity for STI testing. They were already there, they were having fun with their partners and their friends, and so we just really wanted to leverage that. It was also really about normalising discussions about STI testing and treatment as well. And there were a lot of conversations had about symptoms and safer sex and a whole range of things, which I won't go into. So 458 young people were tested during this initiative, which was a good result for a first go. And it proved a great opportunity to engage young people face to face and reinforce the messages in our other campaigns. So while our campaigns and health promotion initiatives have evolved over time, the objectives have remained consistent. The key objectives are to increase awareness of the importance of practicing safer sex, such as wearing condoms, to increase awareness around the importance, but also just the ease of actually getting regular STI testing, and ultimately to increase the number of young people getting those regular STI tests. We also wanted to let young people know that they can easily access STI testing by doing a quiz to assess their risk online and downloading a free PathWest form from the Could I Have It website, and to drive them to this site. And lastly, a high-level objective is to reduce the notification rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea amongst young people over time. The messaging in our campaigns is simple and consistent. The key messages are to practice safer sex by using condoms, that STIs are easy to catch, but testing and treatment is easy, and that STIs often don't have any symptoms, so you should always get tested if you've had unprotected sex.
So online promotion has been a cornerstone of the media selection for some years, because we know young people are heavy consumers of online media. It's also a great way to direct young people easily to the testing facility on couldihaveit.com while they're online via a simple click through to the website. And social media promotion includes channels like Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Spotify. Cinema was added to the mix this year because young people are heavy and increasing users of cinema. They go in groups, and the ad was designed in a light-hearted way so that it might prompt a bit of humour and conversation about what the young people are seeing together on screen. And unlike other channels, cinema provides a captive audience. People can't switch off. In addition, we had 339 venue ads installed in night spots throughout Perth and WA, including regional centres like Geraldton, Kalgoorlie, Port Hedland, Broome, Kununurra, Albany and the South West. So this mix of channels provides a strong opportunity for message reinforcement. Young people will have been exposed to the campaign via multiple channels throughout the course of the campaign. So for the campaign, the hero asset is the video, which I hope will play if I press this button.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
When you're sleeping with someone, you're sleeping with their past partner.
Stuff.
And theirs.
Oh, that's it.
Always wear a condom.
Oh, yeah.
And get yourself tested.
So, we did come across a variety of challenges when trying to roll this campaign out. YouTube had been planned as a major channel for the campaign, but we ran into trouble with this on a couple of fronts. At roughly the same time as our campaign launched, there was a state government ban on advertising on YouTube. Many large organisations were doing the same because YouTube was unable to control the content that was served prior to and following advertisements. And there's also a lack of control around the comments that viewers can make without any moderation from YouTube. And in any case, our advertisement was actually auto-rejected by YouTube because it was deemed overly sexual. I think Marty referred to this before, that this is a problem across many social media platforms, and we experienced rejections of this campaign creative for the same reason. We had experienced similar struggles in the past, but it seems that these platforms have become hyper-conscious of their social responsibilities and have put in place more stringent auto filters. So next steps for us is to actually have a look at the footage that we do have and see whether we can create a G-rated version for rolling out for future bursts of this campaign. Oh, and another channel is that because we are trying to reach young people via a variety of channels, we are having to produce it in multiple formats, which require, you know, multiple sizes, and that also can be costly. Okay, so moving quickly into our analytics, we achieved high impressions, which means the number of times that the ad was served, exceeding 8 million times. And it's also encouraging to see that the video itself was viewed online in its entirety over 600,000 times. We also had good uptake of our Spotify audio advertising, and the actual completed forms on the Could I Have It website increased over the campaign period.
As Liz noted, one of our key objectives was to drive people to increase testing, and while it's difficult to sort of determine whether any increases in general testing are the result of a campaign, it is encouraging to see that people using our Could I Have It website and actually going and getting tested doubled during the most recent campaign burst period. Social marketing is obviously just one small component of a complex and multifaceted approach run by all of us here, but also WA Department of Health, to reduce STIs among young people and increase testing rates. Our analytics demonstrate that these materials are effective in reaching their designated target groups, and that using contemporary media channels increase the campaign's visibility by serving it in a way that's actually accessible and convenient to young people. While we recognise that this isn't a panacea for reducing STIs in this group, they can go a long way towards reaching young people with appropriate sexual health messaging. And that's all from us today.